Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things taken. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, 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 everyone. Grace and peace to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise to the Most High God of Israel. Woo! Oh, my God. One more. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening in. I am the Reverend Joe Israel, Pastor Moore, aka Joe Israel. Looking here today, we're still into the creation. What do you mean, man? We're still dealing with that heaven thing, man. There's so many more things going on there. You know, like that last week, we dealt with the fact that it was on fire. You know, so, you know, all the myths that you've been hearing and that heaven is like this big cloud of politicians or cotton or something like that, you know, you would think that heaven itself would be described like that in the scriptures, but we found out that the scriptures don't support that. We found out the scriptures support the fact that heaven is on fire and everything that's created from heaven was created from God. What do you mean? Well, where did heaven come from? You know, like, it just came from nowhere, right? No, it didn't. It came from him. He created it from himself. And everything from it. All those jewels, all that gold, the water, the beautiful city, all that is from him, himself, his body. This is that man. And then he said he showed us how he created the angels out of this fire. We covered that last week. But then he sneakily left something in on us that he had a temple in heaven. This is the one that we all are looking forward to. We call it the New Jerusalem, but when it hit the planet, it won't be named Jerusalem anymore. It'll be under the speech of the Chesedes, whatever that may be, it won't be called Jerusalem anymore. This whole language that we're speaking right now will be forgotten. It'll be a dead language. So this temple is in heaven right now where he is. He's going to bring it. So we're going to look at a little bit of that, because that's now in heaven, you know. That's what Satan said there. That's why Christ's blood had to sprinkle the most holy place there. That's why the atonement was not only made for the people, but also for the most holy place. That's heaven. That's the most holy place. So when Christ died, he didn't just atone for us, he atoned for heaven. Two. He atoned for heaven. Both. Heaven and earth. So let's get into this. Hutchinson. Shalom, Sebastian.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Shalom, brother. Grace and peace. Grace and peace to the family.
Grace and peace, Israelite. Grace and peace. Well, get us a scripture if you can, and we'll get prayed in and get started on this precept. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Oh God, why hast thou cast off, Oh God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doeth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed. This mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy have done wickedly in thy sanctuary. Thine enemies war in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous, according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. There is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme the name forever? I have read Psalm 74, verses 1 through 10. May the Lord add a blessing in the teaching and reading of his word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debt to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sinners and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brother and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight and bless in us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and ask to see and if to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well and give them to a mind to perceive and ask to see and if to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the faith to perform. In Jesus' name, we pray for your mercies and endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
All Well, everyone just say happy Sabbath to all of us that keep the Sabbath, and those of us just tuning in. Yeah, excuse me, man. I'm really needing something to drink here. And those of us just tuning in for the first time, we want to welcome you as well. Grace and peace. Welcome to the Sabbath of Living Waters. We're in the study of the creation. We in the first day. We are dealing with heaven. Yes, we already covered the beginning. Yes, we already been there. Yes, we covered the power God said in the beginning. God, you got that. Now we can create, right? Heaven and earth. Now we're here. We're in part four. This heaven part. We hadn't got to the earth. We hadn't gotten to the water. We hadn't gotten none of those things because, well, we just haven't. You know, he did a lot in the first day, you know. So, I suggest that we take our time and really look at those things that he did. You know, that make more sense to us when you do it that way. You know. Anyway, so let's get this started. Let's start this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Let me get a cup of juice here. Genesis 1 and 1, and I'm gonna need you to read down to the 5. When you see it, read Genesis 1 and 1 and read to the 5.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the night day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day."
Now, it was a lot here. It's a lot here that's done. You got God, you got water, you got light, you got day and night implemented. You know, there's a lot going on here. And time. Time was implemented, you know. However you want to see it, whether we look at it from 1,000-year increments or millenniums or 100-year increments or 10 or, you know, first. And yeah, first year anniversary, so to deal, you know, those things, time windows, you know, we mark time by a lot of things, you know. So he created time in the first day. We haven't even gotten to that, you know. That time was implemented, even though we're going to look at some of those things right now. We're going to look at some of those things, but we're not going to go all the way in on it because there's a place for that. You know, and but you can see it. You can see it in the works, you know. When he put these things together, then when you read all of it, it makes sense. You see. So this is that thing. So let's get back to one. Let's get back to one. And let's read verse
Genesis 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth."
Okay, so this is the thing. He said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So this is what we're looking at. What is heaven, right? So we covered that. We covered what heaven is. We covered what it looked like. We're just going to do a little smashes, and then we're going to keep it moving. But for those of us that are just tuning in, I would suggest that you listen to Heaven 1, 2, and 3, get caught up so we don't have to keep going back and keep going forward, and you won't feel like you missed out because we are moving ahead. So where did heaven come from? What is it, right? Where did it come from? So this is the thing. Let's go into Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28 and verse 11. 28 and 11. We're gonna get right to the crux of it. Read.
Ezekiel 28 and 11 reads, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire."
Stop. So we got right here that he just created a cherub with all these elements from heaven, which he just identified as on fire. He said, "Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Well, go to Psalms chapter, we're coming back to this. Go to Psalms chapter
103. Yeah. Pick it up at verse 1. Psalms 104:1 reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers a flaming fire."
Stop. That's where he created them from. They created out of fire. That's why he says they walk up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So he created them out of fire. You know, in fact, go back to Ezekiel. And there's something else about this conversation. He said they minister in spirits of flame of fire, right?
Right.
So they could do things. Ezekiel chapter 28, and what do we leave off? Verse 13?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Verse 14, and read.
Ezekiel 28 and 14 reads, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire."
See, heaven on fire. Heaven is on fire. You know what I'm saying? And as we seen before, he created heaven. You know, he created a gravity. Because he said his heaven is moving in a circuit, you know, which surrounds the cosmos, you know, because heaven surrounds the firmament. it goes around the firmament. So gravity has to be created before heaven, or else heaven wouldn't be going around in circles. Gravity is that magnetic pool of north, south, east, and west. Wisdom told us in Song of Solomon and Proverbs that before there was a depth, you know, he put bounds on a depth, which is nothing. But when you put bounds on nothing, you bring north, south, east, and west in, you create a magnetic pool. A gravitational pull, an orbital pull, 360, both physically and spiritually, pull. North, south, east, and west is indicative of 360.
Amen.
So he went, when he brought north, south, east, and west in, he created gravity. Then he put heaven inside of that, and heaven is also surrounded by gravity, which is give us that there's gravity in heaven, of course, or the water just be everywhere. I mean, you know, when he described heaven, which is what we're going to read some of today, that, you know, the water wouldn't be stationary, you know. Water would just be floating. So, no, there was gravity. It's the such thing as, this is why you got all the cosmos, everything is moving in a clock manner. You know, everything is, you know, like this is why you can look at Saturn, you can see that there's hurricanes in Saturn. Or you can see like there's a cluster of stars moving in a circle. You got rotation upon rotation, the moon circling around, gravitational pulls of all different types of planets and clusters and stuff like that. Everything is going in a circular. It's like this big giant clock that's created by gravity. It's just that simple. So, heaven is on fire. Right? Go to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 18, if I'm not mistaken. Revelation 11 and 18. Revelation 11 and 19. When you receive it, read.
Revelations 11 and 19 reads, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail."
An earthquake and great hail. See, all this is, where the hail is coming from?
Heaven.
In heaven? So there's a heaven in heaven. Obviously, if it's raining hail in heaven, where's the hell is coming from? Did I just say that? Where the hell is coming from? I'm serious. Bro, you laughing, but ask yourself. Listen to what you just read. Read that again. Revelation 11 and verse 19.
"And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail."
where the hell is coming from? Where the lightning's at?
It's coming from heaven in the temple of God.
So there's a firmament in heaven. It's a firmament just like he got a firmament here that he put the stars in and stuff like that. He got a firmament in heaven where he got this too. See that? He got the same thing in heaven. He got a firmament that he placed these things in. Yeah, that is. That's crazy. There's a heaven inside of heaven. Who knew? Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Perfect.
Well, there it is, right? Right? There it
yes.
is. Yes. So where the hell? Now, here's the thing, right? Earthquakes. Where you getting earthquakes from? That lets you know that heaven is a planet. Not only it's on fire, but it's a planet. Because you don't get earthquakes from nothing but an earth mass, some type of rock form or planet. And so heaven is got an earth to it. That makes sense that earth was created from heaven. There it is. There's an earth in the heaven right there. So earth can be created from heaven, because you mentioned right there that you can have earthquakes in heaven. Oh, guess what? I can take an earth out of heaven, because I just said there go earth in heaven. That's fine. That's the law. So we see that this, so it was gravity, because you got to have gravity. But everything would be just floating sideways, right? Lightning would be going any kind of direction. Lightning would be going up. Hell would be just like snowballs or tennis balls just being shot across the heaven like random. Nah, man. That's coming down. So there's a place in heaven. The hell comes from that's in heaven. Okay. Let's look. And it's temple. Now, get this. The temple is big enough to house it. Get that?
Yes.
The temple is big enough to house the thunder and the lightning and sustain the earthquake. But heaven, once again, it's earth. It got to be mass. It got to be matter. But we just thought it was on fire. Okay, well, let's do the mass first. Let's go to Revelations chapter 21. Revelations 21. Let's do the mass first.
Revelations 21:1.
21. Yeah. 21:1.
Revelations 21:1 reads, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the whole."
So now what's going to happen is that the Lord is going to change this constellation like he changed the constellation in the days of the dinosaurs. That constellation is different than this constellation. So this isn't anything new that he's done before. He's changed the constellation. History of science and in the math the mathematical locations of the stars will let you know that he changed the constellations before. They're interchangeable. Who knew that the cosmos are interchangeable? He can move those things around at will. He's going to create a new heaven and new earth. Those things are interchangeable. Verse 2
reads, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband."
What was John at? Was he in heaven when he saw this? No. John was on the earth. So here come New Jerusalem from God on the planet. Here come the Father. This is him. This is the Father. Finally, the Father is here. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Right here, this is it.
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
Sign, sealed, and delivered. Right there. We're praying for this all the time. This right here. Verse 3 reads,
"And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God
so
shall wipe away."
So he says this, God's going to be with man. Where man at? So God is coming out of heaven.
He's on the earth.
Yeah. And he's not this 250-year-old dude. He is 33 and a half years old. With hair like wool. He's like burnt grass. And he's this fresh image of the Father. Let me know the Father looks like he's 33. And a half. Which, if he looked anything like God, as we're describing here, then Adam, when he was created, was 30 years to 33 years old. He wasn't an infant walking around like with you know, needing diapers. He was a full-grown 30-year-old man. That's the only way I can see that, because that's when it's called. Right? So right then and there, they go Adam being created and Jesus being, you know, baptized at the same time, being brought out of the earth. And yeah, I see that. He was 30. So, all right, so here come New Jerusalem. He's going to be with God. So God is going to be with me. Read that 4.
Verse 4 reads, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away."
Stop. So this is that thing. He says, so now, you know, ain't no more sadness, no more sorrow, nothing like that. It's just going to be, you're not even going to remember the things that you went through in this life. He said those things are going to be forgotten. He said, why? I guess when I have to be. So whoever abused you or used you or hurt you or killed you won't exist in your psyche in the resurrection. So you won't be reliving them things for all eternity. You know.
Thank you, Jesus.
Those things.
Thank you, Jesus.
Those things. But they have to be right here. So he said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There should be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. The only thing you will do that is a psychological pain or memory or dream or something. So he's going to give us a full lobotomy, so to say, and wipe those things that troubled us away, you know. So you won't be reliving them. So that thing, man, you know, that's another conversation. Anyway, let's continue with this deal. Let's continue with this foundation thing. All right, go skip down to verse 10.
Verse 10 reads, Revelation 21 and 10 reads, it says, And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from God.
Stop.
Having the glory.
So here comes New Jerusalem, this mountain. That's why he heard an earthquake, because Jerusalem is... it's in a sonic mass. It's in a thing called heaven. That's a form of earth. You see that? It's a form of earth itself.
Yes.
It's just a different, it's a different matter. You know, like the earth is grass and water and such, but it also has the same properties, such as the jewels and the gold and things like that. But heaven has an earth too, matter, if I could say that. It's a planet, if we could say that, right? Because it wouldn't have it wouldn't have any foundation if it didn't have earth. How can you have a foundation without earth? You know, in using the term earth is for identification purposes, because you don't know what the foundations of heaven is truly called. But we do know that it's coming from a solid mass. Why? Watch this. Continue.
Verse 10 reads, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel.
Really? So he got the name of the gate in heaven right now, named after the children of Israel?
Yes.
That's now. He's just coming with it. Read on.
Verse 13 reads, on the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12.
That's your 360.
Yes.
There it is. It equals 12. It end up folding four. It's going to end up, when it's all done, it's going to be light, water, earth, light, water, earth. And it'll start over again. This is why nothing is flat. It's a giant ball. It's a giant ball. Light, water, earth, light, water, earth, light, water, earth, light, water, earth. It just continues to recycle. That's the law of it. It can't stop. The law of it is it continue to go light, water, earth, light, water, earth, light, water, earth. Light water. That's why day and night will never cease. Because it has to go like water, earth, continually, constantly, always. It's either going to be spirit or physical. It's either going to be physical or spiritual. But it's always going to be those three elements all the time. Light, water, earth. This is north, south, east, and west. They're bound by time. This is how even time is bound by gravity. This is how the earth is rotating around the sun through gravity. You see this? We experience it in a 24-hour increment. But everything is in that north, south, east, and west. So he bound the entire universe with the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he put a name on it. Instead of calling it north, south, east, and west, he put the names of the brethren on it. That's a forever moving wheel that'll never stop. I guess that's how you create eternity. If you place a magnet within two magnets that oppose themselves, that magnet is just spinning. It is just spinning in the middle of those two magnets without time. It'll just do it. Gravity. North, south, east, and west. Continue. In fact, why don't you do this? Skip down to verse 19.
Verse 19 reads, "And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass."
Stop. Isn't that how we saw the cherub created from? He said, "In the day that y'all was created." So he just told us he created them from this. And we found out that this was on fire. You know. This was on fire in heaven when he created them. In fact, he called them ministering spirits and what? Flame of fire?
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Right.
All right. So I need you to go to St. Luke for me. Go to St. Luke chapter 24 and 39. This is going to clear up a lot of problems we have in this world, but these things are necessary.
Luke, what do you say, sir? Luke what?
Luke 24 and verse 39. In fact, okay, Let's do this. Let's pick it up a little further. Pick it up in verse 35.
St. Luke, verse, yes, sir. St. Luke 24 and 35 reads, And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit have not flesh and bones, as ye see me have.
See that? Spirit don't have flesh and bones. So a spirit can be a shift changer. It can change itself from a lion to an eagle to a raging bull. And bulls is like completely out of control power. I mean, they real power. That's brute strength. You see? So, this is an angel, right? Created in these images, plus in the image of man. So he could change from an ox to a man to a bird to a lion. He could turn into a lion. He can meet you as a lion with the strength of an ox. How about that? And you know that this really wasn't a lion if you lived in a part of the world. Anyway, he said, a spirit don't have flesh and bone. This is why, you know, this would make man ignorant of the spiritual warfare, is that the angels, the fallen angels, despise the idea that we have what made us the image of God. And that's a skeleton. Angels don't have that conversation. So you can't say, you know, Jesus Christ was an angel. You can't say that, you know, and I grew up in the whole doctrine of that, man. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses who teach that Jesus was an angel. Well, angels don't have flesh and bones. And they don't, because they minister spirits of flame of fire, as we read, that they were created from heaven. So this is why, you know, when you see these things, they're always lifting up skeletons, and this is the ignorance of ourselves. That we look at that and be like, that's so cool. Look at that skull. Look at that skeleton. That's that. But they're raising war on us. And in the end, they win again because we end up going to electric fire with them. So they're like, they get a double victory if we give it to them, right? If we give it to them.
Right.
You know. So this is that thing that we got to be conscious of, you know. So, no, they don't have, they made some fire. So heaven is on, in fact, let's go to Peter. Let's go to Peter. Let's go to Peter, Second Peter, chapter 2 and verse 7. Second Peter, chapter 3 and verse 7. When you receive the reading.
Second Peter 3:7 reads, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day.
Stop. So he just told us right here that the heavens is on fire, and that the heavens got a time window. A day in the heavens, a day in heaven is 1,000 years. That's a lot different.
Yes.
You know, a day in heaven is 1,000 years. You see? It's a big difference. I'm trying to find this scripture. I know since the one I'm looking for, and watch this. So now you're getting into a time window that he gave heaven, right? Go to Psalms 89. Psalms 89, and pick it up at verse 89. Let me know where you're at.
Psalm 89 and 9?
No, 29.
Okay, yes, sir. Psalms 89 and 29 reads, "His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven."
See that? The throne is for what?
Yes.
The days of heaven. So now heaven got a time window. You know, who knows? You know, you got raining, fire and brimstone. You got earthquakes and all that going on. You got angels and stuff flying around. You got rivers of water and stuff, you know. And they got a time window? I guess so. Imagine that. Here, let's look at this a little further. Wow. Okay, read this. Psalms 21 and 4. I have to read this. And then we're going to go right in there. Mm. 21 and 4.
Psalms 21 and 4 reads, "He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even the length of days forever and ever."
See that? That's amazing, man. The length of days, that's not talking about us. He's talking about 1,000 years, forever and ever. A year to you would be 1,000 years. A day to you would be 1,000 years. Forever and ever. That's the law. We come up, we make it through the great white throne judgment, or we come up in the first resurrection, a day to us from that point on will be 1,000 years. Forever and ever. It'll be as the days of heaven. Now watch this. Go to go to Psalms 89 and 36. Psalms 89 and 36, please.
Psalms 89 and 36 reads, his seat shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established.
His seed and the sun and his throne is going to be as his throne is going to be as that before him. So the sun and the moon is never going away. So don't listen to science. According to the law right here, that's pronounced over Jesus Christ, the sun and the moon will never cease because of Jesus Christ. Psalms 45 and 6.
Psalms 45?
Yeah, and 6.
Yes, sir. Psalms 45 and 6 reads, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter.
You see that? He said, your throne, O God, is for what? Forever and
forever
ever.
And ever.
Forever and ever. There it is. You see? So the throne is established, man. But wait a minute. Go to Psalms 93 and 2. Where he get it from? That's the next question. Did he get it from heaven? You know, I know a lot of us probably, we may have thought about it and just said, well, you know, hey, I don't know if God showed us something like that. Well, I asked this question, and he actually revealed it. So, yeah, ask. Thy throne, O God, is so yeah. Where did you get your throne from? You know, why would you need one? You know, and if his kingdom is from everlasting, that means that his throne had to come first.
Yes.
It's kind of like when you was watching Guardians of the Galaxy, and Thanos was introduced for the first time. He was introduced from a throne. Same thing. We give more honor to these things in this world than we do to God.
Psalms 93 and 2 reads, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord.
No, man,
the floods
have lifted up. You say thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever.
Established of old from everlasting.
Did we read Psalms 89 and 29?
Oh, no. I read Psalms 93 and 2, but you said Psalms, wasn't there?
No, that throne established of old. Thou art from everlasting. See, that's the other thing. His throne had to be from everlasting too, so where did he get it from? That's the next question. I mean, I'd be asking those kind of things, like, where did you get the throne from? You know. Why not? You know, I mean, I'd be asking you that if he was here. You know, I'd be asking the things like, well, how much power did it take to fire up the sun? You know, is it possible now? Could I turn the moon into a sun? You know what I mean? Something like that, you know. I mean, all things is possible with him. So, hey, maybe somewhere in his dimension that I could turn the moon or Mars into a sun. You know, all probabilities. Would I need it? No, because the one we got right there works perfectly fine. But in a vast grand scheme of things, when you start talking about the cosmos, then there are other places that, hey, God can use his wisdom and be extended. I guess it'd be nice to be in places amongst the dimensions, so to say, to be walking up and down through time and in and out through dimensions and stuff like that. That's cool. That comes with that first resurrection. You know, you will actually have quantum physics on lock. Could you read Psalms 89 and 29 for me?
Psalms 89?
Yeah, 89, 29.
Yes, sir. Psalms 89 and 29 reads, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven.
Why is that necessary? Why is this necessary that the thrones have to have a crown in the land as the days of heaven? That not only do the thrones have crown windows, but they are 1,000-year increments. So if you get one of these, you officially in everlasting, so to say. A year to you, I mean, a day to you, not a year, a day to you would be 1,000 years. The 24-hour increments will no longer exist to you. It won't even no longer apply to you. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Let's look at this a little further. So, we see here that, you know, that his throne is forever and ever, right? So now let's go on to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Pick it up at verse 1. Because remember that angel, we said that cherub that he created out of the fire, well, he created these two out of the fire too. These are seraphims. And so They're gonna meet John, you know. Watch this, and this dimension is gonna be open in him, or domain, so to say. We like to say dimension because that sounds so time window and time machine. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Revelation 4:1.
Revelation 4:1 reads, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.
So all this,
and immediately,
you know, I'm the devil, is made it. That's all make-believe. That's what people will have you to think, and that's a psychological, what they call people that take sicknesses on themselves.
They do what?
Or what?
No, I'm sorry. People to do what now?
People that think they always sick.
Oh,
hypochondriac. There it is. That's what that
okay.
is. A hypochondriac. That's what that mindset is. Anyway, so continue.
Revelation 4:1 reads, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne."
See that?
And he that sat, yes.
That's that same throne we was reading in Isaiah that's from everlasting. This is the same one.
Correct.
Read on.
Verse 2 reads, "And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before
Stop, man. Where do voices come from? Really?
Out of the throne?
Okay. So the throne called the shots over those elders.
Yes.
Yes, he did. The throne called the shots over the 70 elders. Watch this. Read 4:5-6 again.
Revelations 4:4 reads, "And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind."
That's them sapphires. The seraphim. This is heaven.
Yeah. Verse 6 reads, Verse 6 reads, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts."
That's right. So the four beasts, the cherubim worked for the throne. So the throne was here before the angels. The angels was created to surround the throne. So therefore the throne had to be here before angels.
Yes.
What you think about that one, Watson?
Yes. Verse 7, "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crown before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
You see how the 420 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne?
Yes.
And then they worship him that liveth forever and cast their crowns before the throne. So if they the elders, then the throne is the elder over them.
Oh. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Go to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1.
Revelation 19 and 1 reads, And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in the heavens saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteousness are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great.
Stop. The throne said that?
Yes, yes it did. Yes, sir.
The throne said, all of y'all give glory unto God. All of y'all. Even the 24 elders. So that came from the throne?
Yes.
So the throne is older than angels because the 24 elders are cherubims. I say seraphim because they're in heaven all the time. So I gotta say that the throne is older than them by leaps and bounds. Because when the throne speaks, all the heaven, everything answers. When the throne opens its mouth, everything answers to the throne. I mean, this sounds like some type of way out fantasy type of film or something like that. But
no,
this is actually how a book, this is how the Word of God plays their part. This is all lined up in how he operates and how he do things.
Yes.
So, this is that thing, bro. All right, well, now we see that that throne is something else. Where did it come from? You know, where did heaven come from, I guess? That would be the next question. You know, I think... I can sum it up right here. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 24.
You said Deuteronomy 40?
No, Deuteronomy chapter 4. You eat like a man. You really eat like... Whoa.
I'm sorry, sir. You said Deuteronomy chapter what,
little
sir?
Little girl. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 24. Yeah, Deuteronomy.
Okay. All right. Deuteronomy's 4 and, did you say 13?
24.
Yes, sir. Okay. Deuteronomy's 4 and 4 reads, "But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day." Behold.
No, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 24. Deuteronomy's 4 and 24. So the throne is older than heaven to me. To me, I would say the throne is older than heaven. To me, I would say the throne was around when gravity was created, because the throne isn't bound by gravity.
Agreed.
The throne isn't bound by gravity. On nowhere, nowhere, shape, form, you can't read anything that the throne is bound by gravity. So my take is that the throne was around before gravity. But the question is, where did he get the throne from? That's the question. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24.
20. Deuteronomy 4, 20 reads, "But the Lord have taken you." 4 and 4?
4 and 24.
Deuteronomy 4 and verse 20 reads, "But the Lord have taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day."
Skip down to verse 24, please.
Verse 24 reads, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God."
So, that's where he got... That's where we got heaven from and that throne. So it's an easy fix for me to say that the throne was created before heaven was, because it's created from the same source, him. The Lord our God is a consuming fire. So the throne is doing the same thing. In fact, Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel 1 and...
Ezekiel 1, verse 1?
Yeah. Ezekiel 1 and verse
26. Okay. Ezekiel 1 and 26 reads, "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw as it was the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about.
So the throne is on fire. It's on fire.
Yes.
That's what it is. The throne is on fire. Go to Daniel chapter 7.
I'm sorry. What did you say, sir?
Daniel.
Okay.
Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9.
Daniel 7 and 9 reads, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire.
All right. So, we see his throne here on fire. And the wheels are the cherubims that we, you know, if you'd have read that Ezekiel chapter 1, when he let down the wings, he had lifted up his wheels when he got ready to, you know, fly or land or whatever you want to call that. But the throne sat in the middle of it. And whatever the throne decided, whichever, you know, Jesus sitting on top of that throne, whichever way he decides to take that throne, left or right, that throne was to go. And it's on fire. So I can safely say that because the Lord our God is consuming fire, he created the throne before he created anything. Because the throne called shots over the whole heaven. If you read it for what it says, that's what it says. So, you know, but this is that thing that's like, hey, heaven.
Right.
You know, what is it to us? You know, is this somewhere where God said we're going to be? No, it's not. It's not for us. You know, in fact, let's go to Psalms chapter 115. I mean, this place isn't for us, man. It just isn't. Psalms 115 and verse 16. Psalms 115.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again? You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
Psalms chapter 115 and verse 16. Psalms 115. You saying my microphone is breaking up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, how about now?
You sound better now, sir. Psalms 115 and what, sir?
And 16.
All righty. Psalms 115 and verse 16 reads, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men.
See, that's the law. So, no, it's not meant for us to go here where we just got to reading about. First of all, we can't even exist there. It's on fire, you know, and God knows what the gravity mass is there, you know, with those ministering spirits, and he's God. So, you know, can our bodies even handle the gravity that's there? You know, some places the gravitational force is so great that we're just turning to lotion the minute we land. You know, you don't even know if you'll be able to handle the gravitational pull, let alone the furnace, you know, and it's raining hell. You know, that's another thing. Unless he gave you a suit, you've been invited, you're in trouble.
Yes. Yes, you are.
This is, you know, when you look at the way he got it set up, it's a little different. We can go into detail concerning these things, man, because the New Testament deal with it, too, in Hebrews, when we start talking about, you know, telling Moses to make it like, you know, in fact, let's read a little bit of that, and then we're going to close out.
Yes, sir.
All right, first let's go to chapter 7 and verse 1.
Is that Hebrews?
Yeah, Hebrews 7 and 1.
Okay. Hebrews 7 and 1 reads, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also the king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually.
Stop. So what we just identified here is the Melchizedek. This is who created time. This is who created, you know, that, in that world, you know, heaven, him. This is this being. The species, they call themselves Chesedites. There's no species like it in the earth. There's no species, that's why I said, without father, without mother, without descent. So there's no species in the planet called Melchizedek. So if anybody's telling you that I'm a Chesedek, no, they have no understanding of what a Chesedek is, because that's the species of God.
Right.
And God isn't created. God isn't of an organism, you know, so to say. And God, using the word God, is a secondary term, because it don't express truly his glory. So for not having any word bigger than that in this English lexicon that we can use to identify his persona is God. That's, and I know someone said, well, see, God was bald and all that. I mean, if you're going to go there, then you got to throw the whole language into God, because I do recognize what you're saying, because they were saying that under Phoenicia. Well, the alphabet that you're using is Phoenician. So, I mean, what you going to do? Right.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, he said, so without descent, without, you know, mother, father, so this is God, man, but they call themselves Chesedek. That's why when he met Abraham, he was Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God, of the Most High. So that was Jesus in his glory. When he met Abraham. Abraham just got through winning a war, so they, you know, they was feasting, and they was having a good time. And here comes God walking up to meet Abraham. After that, and he brought him bread and wine. Nothing spectacular. Whatever that wine was, that guy said, he said, oh, you say the best wine for last. You would have thought you would have brought this out first. When Abraham drank this wine, he knew this wine was no point.
Yeah.
It is what it is, but let's skip down a little bit. Let's skip around, right? So you got this Melchizedek, and now you got Jesus now, right here, being made Melchizedek. So let me see. I think I want to do 9. Yeah, 9. Go to Hebrews chapter 9:1.
Hebrews 9:1 reads, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all." Which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of the glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Verse 6 reads, "Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." Verse 8. "The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience."
Continue.
Verse 10 reads, "Which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
See that? But Christ being come a high priest of good things, because by a greater, more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So Paul was saying that What he was talking about is what we was reading about was that tabernacle that got that lightning and that thunder thing jumping off and doing all those other things and got the talking throne and all of that. Well, this is what Paul was talking about right here. And he was saying that this is what Christ's blood had to clean because Satan had defiled it with sin. So not only did Christ's blood clean the holy place, but it cleans the holy place. I mean, it's
right.
A story within itself. It's almost like, you know, the enemy, if you knew the story, he had a choice. He had a choice to remain anonymous and let things go as they would, or he could become famous and notorious. And it seemed like he took the lesser of the two. He became notorious, that is to say the devil. You know, because this story had to be written too that an angel would be able to do something like this. So when Christ died, his blood cleaned not only us, but it also cleaned the building. The most holy place is where the Father was, or where the Father is. You know,
which so happened to be,
watch this. In the middle of the work week of Adam, that is to say, the fourth week, the fourth day of Adam. When Christ came, light upon earth. When Christ died, light upon earth. When was that? The fourth day in Adam. We are now at the end of the sixth day in Adam. And the sixth day of Adam will be bringing the end of society or this world as we know it. It's going to happen. And we hate to be bearer of bad news, but it is the truth. And man is going to get ready to go to war with God. Not about oil. I mean, the oil is the underlying current of the conversation here, but they're getting their weapons ready to go to war with the heavens. So, with all that being said, we're going to hold up here. And so now we got the heavens laid out, right? Now you got
right.
This tabernacle where the Chesedics exist. So what are their jobs in heaven, you know? I mean, he ain't just created heaven just to be sitting there chilling and, you know, watching angels fly around. I mean, they got a job. Right?
I'm sorry. Agreed.
What was so funny?
Okay.
They didn't just create heaven to be just sitting there in heaven, just to be just lounging around, you know, like most of us would be thinking that, you know, the best part about being God is that you get to do nothing. And that's not the case. God worked in all times, you know. And in fact, he even was working on the seventh day. Book said if he had rested, he would have spoken of another day. But even when in Genesis chapter 2 and 7, he was still putting in work.
Amen.
So what is he doing there? What is the point of his existing in the tabernacle for us even now, you know? So, let's wrap that up around that conversation. What's the point of a tabernacle? And what's the point of one in heaven for us, right? I guess we pray to it every day, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, then we have to give us this day our daily bread, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Right. Well, like to say thank you, Robin, for being a perfect young judge. And I want to say Shabbat Shalom, Sister Ray. It was the most studious. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, man.
Shabbat
Shalom, great job,
thank God. I'll say that. Thank God, and I thank God for all of y'all. You know, like the Lord says, fight the good fight, and it ain't even time yet. It's not even time to fight that fight. But I did want to say, and this is very brief, but just like I got a couple of scriptures, just maybe two. Or three. So Genesis 4:2, it says, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And when I look at Abel, it reminds me of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is a keeper of sheep. So I will go to Genesis 5:1, and it reads, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. So I got a lot out of that, you know, and it's mind-blowing that man has no idea what God has blessed them with. So I want to say all praises to the Most High God. Love and peace unto the family and those that are seeking out the word of the Lord. You did an excellent job. Let the Lord watered you and poured out his blessings upon your heart. Grace and peace to the family. And with that, I close.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, we want to thank you and a great job reading again. And, I want to just say to everyone, I want to say welcome again. We want to thank you for your time. And we hope and pray that someone was edified today. And as we always say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, please
read your Bibles.
Read your Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.